Hello and a very warm welcome to Section D, Monocle 24's dedicated weekly design show. I'm your host, Josh Fennett. Now in this instalment, we're breaking format and handing over the reins to a trusted correspondent who hones in on a singular city's sartorial scene. Far from stuffy and straight-laced, the Austrian capital's apparel is today turning heads. Monocle's man in the city, Alexei Korolev, brings us this special report on fashion in Vienna.
Generally speaking, there is a point that Austrians hate to be overdressed or think that they are overdressed just if they are fashionable.
Austria has no fashion industry. I mean, where we have been strong for a while was the underwear. But it's interesting to work in Vienna because we have other sources than people in Paris or in Milan or in London.
We are trying to just tell people there's also good design. Maybe it's a little bit more expensive, yes, but you can buy it also on a fair level, and you support the designers as well. And I think there's a trend going in this direction, but of course it's not the majority.
It's getting better now. So a few years ago, so a lot of people knew about Helmut Lang, but now they know that there is a young avant-garde scene, and we have a good educational system here, so the scene is seen now.
Voices from around the world of Austrian fashion. Until quite recently, if you said the words Austrian fashion, most people outside Austria would be hard-pressed to name a single designer or label. That's, of course, with the exception of Helmut Lang.
Helmut Lang has transformed the way we look at fashion. It's not just the style of his clothes, it's also the style of his shows. The sophistication in the outfits and subversion in the attitude.
Celebrated for his signature brand of androgynous minimalism, Lang rose to instant international stardom when he showed his first collection in 1986. Since then, he has influenced and inspired generations of designers. But he's not the only big name in Austrian fashion. Not anymore. Everywhere you look in Vienna, there are designer shops and boutiques that were not there 5 years ago when I first moved here. Well, not everywhere. Most fashion shopping takes place in the 7th district of the city, Neubau, the realm of free-thinking bobos and creatives. We'll come back there later on in the programme, but for now, a bit more geography. Across town on the northeastern sweep of the Ringstrasse Boulevard is the prestigious University of Applied Arts, known simply as the Angewandte. It's the cradle of contemporary Austrian fashion and design. Over the years, the Angewandte's fashion department has been led by some of the industry's greatest stars, including Helmut Lang himself, Vivienne Westwood, Raf Simons, and currently Hussein Chalayan. Most of the people I've spoken to for this programme are graduates of that famous Modeklasse, and indeed some of them are going back to teach there. One could say with some assurance that Austria has not seen such a flowering of fashion and design talent since the heady days of the Fin de Siècle, when artists, architects and designers broke away from the prevailing aesthetic ideals that they saw as outdated and dysfunctional. Among those innovators was Emilia Flöger, the lifelong companion and muse of the painter Gustav Klimt. She made it her mission to rethink women's clothing and free them from societal and cultural constraints. Her robe-like and decidedly unisex Reformkleid, reform dress, became a symbol of the burgeoning feminist movement. Now let's meet some of the latter-day fashion reformers.
Hi, my name is Helga Rutner. I'm one part of the fashion brand Wendy and Jim.
My name is Hermann Frankhauser, and I'm the second part of Wendy and Jim.
Yeah.
So we met during our studies when Helmut Lang was our tutor in the middle of the 90s. And it was not really a student project because our goal was to have a fashion show or more fashion shows in Paris and to found our own label, but we had no idea how to get there. And we started playing, more or less, as students, but already with the name Wendy and Jim in 1997. And since then, we didn't stop working. There are things that come from the city that connect us to Helmut Lang. There are others who are really driven by another decade where we were risen. So
what we do, what we really like, Helga and me, is stepping out of the frame and put a garment like a bomber jacket and turn it into something new, so-called new. I mean, that's the job in fashion, to reinvent something or to invent something new, especially the surface. What we also like to do is working with suits, all kind of suits, track suits, classic suits, sleepwear suits, or we made it that it looks like a suit. Mm-hmm. That's really what we like to do. The full outfit, I mean the full body covered with our aesthetic.
Hi, I'm Nora Berger from Natures of Conflict.
Hi, my name is Katrin and I'm also from Natures of Conflict. And yeah, we both meet in the University of Applied Arts.
Yeah, and we started Natures of Conflict in about 2008, 2009, where we did our first projects together. Yeah, since then we've been doing projects and little collections and like... So since 2015 we do the seasonal, which is a new concept, and we want to make only one outfit per season. For us it connects with the style we have because it's very reduced but focuses on special details. So rather than make a big collection that offers everything, we just want to offer one suggestion. So this is the actual, what's the word for the
current?
The current, thank you. That's the current collection, which is out in the shops. Yeah, and it was kind of based on rice workers.
Yeah.
In Asian parts and in Italy. Yeah, we did, we always work together, or a lot of the time work together with weaving mill in Upper Austria, where we can make our own patterns and our own fabrics. It's a viscose kind of yarn, so we developed this very subtle pattern, and it's based on like stitched up workwear that's like been mended and repaired many times.
And it's a sort of a dress or something.
This is a dress. It's this one, but we also have it in for a top. For t-shirts.
Mm-hmm. My name is Lena and this is Ida.
I'm Ida.
And how do I actually pronounce the name of the brand?
We are always saying Meshit, but we are of course aware that you can also say Meshit, which in the beginning we thought is quite self-ironic and funny. And some people don't like the shit in the name, it's too negative.
We like to mix things together, and like for example we mix feminine and masculine styles, are also
oversized
and tight volumes, and even for the fabrics sometimes we take some very fluent fabrics and mix it with rougher materials. Yeah, our collections are always influenced by social, not always but mostly influenced by social movements. So we are very interested into, for example, working class and youth cultures.
But are you working class yourselves? No.
Yeah,
I would say that.
Yeah.
We're working a lot.
Not earning money at all. I mean, we have this shop here since 2014, which is really good for us, and we just decided to focus more on that, like on the shop, and having smaller collections more often during the year and just releasing them right after finishing. And we decided to stop with the typical fashion seasons, like autumn, winter, spring, summer, and not going to fairs and working with agencies anymore. So we just decided to do that and see if the direct market is better for us, because the international market was just too many ups and downs and a lot of costs. And yeah.
So my name is Karin Oebster. I'm living in Vienna since 30 years, and I studied fashion at a fashion college in Vienna, and I did a master for tailoring in Graz. And I came back to Vienna working at a fur company doing fur design. And in 1996, I had the chance to work for Christa de Carouche. She is a Swiss avant-garde designer. And afterwards, I opened my label. When I began with Kaiko, it was very, very Asian, very Japanese, because the pattern was the kimono. I like it very much because it's so simple and it fits everyone. And in all those years, it changed a little bit. And my idea is to go with the brand near a sculptural form, a little bit wearable, but more sculptural. Because clothing you find everywhere, but sculptural fashion you don't find everywhere, and not in Vienna. So I'm a niche in this kind of fashion. I think I'm the only one, yes. I try to do international presentation. I think the first time was 2000 or 2001 in Milan. And I went back to Vienna and did presentations for 4 years in Milan again. And then I realized that this is not my way, because there are so many designers out there and nobody is waiting for me. So I came back to Vienna and decided to do my niche, a little thing, exclusively. And if someone is coming to Vienna, traveling to Vienna, and discovers Kaiko, it's good. And I do my thing, that's it.
Austria has always had a strong avant-garde tradition. From the Viennese expressionism of Egon Schiele and Oskar Kokoschka before World War I, to the often violent Viennese actionism of the 1960s, to the atonal music of Arnold Schoenberg. It's a tradition that has also found expression in the clothes industry, where it sits uneasily with tradition proper, the heavy loden coats and tasteless evening dresses of the Viennese old guard. Vienna remains in many ways a fashion backwater, a complaint I've heard from almost everyone I've spoken to for this programme, but its creative blend of old and new makes it a unique place for business. We'll get some more perspective on this in a moment. For now, let's meet a couple more people, this time from the world of shoes and accessories.
I'm Eva, and I'm running the brand Eva Blut, which is an accessory brand mainly focused on bags, leather bags. It exists already since 1999. And yeah, here's the workshop where I do all the prototyping, which begins often with playing with paper and cardboard and searching and experimenting with the space by trying out.
That one over there, is that a prototype or?
This one is a prototype. This is the first ones that I have not done myself. Usually I do the first ones by myself and then I hand it to the production and they must also do a sample. Mm-hmm. And these are the first ones they did. Here are, for example, tests that I did. How can I go around the corner and create a bottom and a side? Yeah, sometimes I don't do a whole bag. And often I like to start with a very basic graphical form, like a square, a circle, whatever. And then if you fold it or make a cubic form out of a square, or if you have a three-dimensional form and you start folding it, then you will be surprised how many different shapes you can create out of that. And then I like to translate it to different types of bags. For example, a square is folded up and becomes a five-pocket bag, and then I stretch it and put in a zipper and make it suitable for work so that the laptop and the DNA 4 files fit in a bit better. Then you can make a whole series out of one discovery, more or less. This is my approach, which is actually more architectonical, you could say, without having to do with architecture.
Okay, I'm Tanya Bradaric from Sagan Vienna.
I'm Taro Omai. I'm from Saga Vienna.
And you've been at it for how long?
For 5 years now, since 2012, end of 2012. So we are designing handbags. Styles are suitable for female and also male audience. we try to create objects which are normal wearable bags, I would say, but they should have for us a sense of uniqueness. And they are for us inspired with much of local culture. So yeah, Tara is from Japan, I'm from Croatia, but we are based in Vienna. So we are living here now like for 10 years, more or less. Mm-hmm. And I guess we see Vienna with different eyes than people from Austria. So in that way, it's at the moment inspired more with Viennese culture, so cafe culture, which then connects to the tonnet chairs which were there. We use it in our bag design. That's like kind of to connect to the local culture of it in general.
And what about those with the prints?
Okay, that with the print, that's last spring-summer collection or now available in the shops. That's continuation of a wicker story. So we wanted to bring it a step further. That means we printed on a leather a pattern which Taro created. It was inspired with Japanese kimonos. So we took flowers from different Japanese kimonos, made it in one collage, printed on a leather, and then cut, and then made a pattern, so a wicker pattern, and also on a shoulder strap, which is our signature, we also made a hand woven.
My name is Simone. I'm representing the brand Rosa Mosa. We do footwear and accessories.
And we are now in your pop-up shop in 7th District of Vienna. And if you could just sort of walk me through your range here, what can we see here?
They're mainly shoes. As it is a spring and summer collection, you see a lot of sandals. Our specialty is a wooden sole that's flexible, so there's a polyurethane strip inserted. They're really comfortable, not only nice looking, but also really comfortable. And then on top, you see a small range that is happening in cooperation with a maker in Nepal, who has sourced for us some banana fiber made from the bark. Mm-hmm. So this is a little small range of clothes to complement the shoes. And
on the other side.
On the other side, towards the left. a thing that became almost classic to us now is this basket bag range made from willow. In this case, the willow is peeled. We have a maker in Poland who actually does the weaving of the baskets to our design. And we do the rest, the leather lids and the straps and so on, which are also done mainly from vegetable tanned leather in our workshop in Vienna in the 6th district.
All the people you've just heard say there's good reason to set up shop in Vienna. But they also agree that it is not Paris, nor Milan. It just doesn't offer the kind of opportunities available to designers there. But then again, working in a fashion capital like Paris means you're up against enormous competition, whereas Vienna makes for a safer, friendlier setting. Indeed, as we've heard, some Viennese designers like Mishit and Kaiko are foregoing international sales altogether to concentrate exclusively on the domestic market. One problem with this is that Austrians on the whole don't seem to be awfully keen on fashion. That last speaker, Simone Springer of Rosa Mosa, was speaking to me at a pop-up shop in the 7th District, Neubau, Vienna's Vanity Fair and main fashion shopping destination. Let's see what the shop owners here have to say. How do they deal with this apparent national disinterest in fashion? First up, I checked in with Vivian Brandl, who runs a small boutique in Kirchengasse called Sight.
Okay, my name is Vivian. I have opened the Sight store like 10 years ago. So in October, it's going to be the 10th birthday. And additionally to that, I started like 2.5 years ago my own brand, which is called Sightline. What do we see? We see different designers from all over Europe. We have like small brands, we have bigger brands like Henrik Wibskov, we have conscious brands like Base Range from Copenhagen and my own brand and also Austrian designers. Mm-hmm. We are trying to just tell people there's also good design. Maybe it's a little bit more expensive, yes, but you can buy it also on a fair level, and you support the designers as well. And I think there's a trend going in this direction, but of course it's not the majority. And we are trying here, 7th District, as you said, is the hub for it in Vienna, definitely, and that's the reason why it works, I think. Maybe if you are in the 15th District, 4th District, it might be a bit difficult, but we have a strong community and we all work together, like just try to introduce each other to the customers, and yeah, it works quite well, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, in the 10 years that the store has existed, what has changed?
Well, we did lots of projects also, including art and fashion, and yeah, trying to keep people interested. What I realized is people just come here, they tell me their stories, they would like to spend like kind of an afternoon here talking and then trying on things. So the personal contact is still very important, I think, even though the online business is also growing. And also, like, for the last 10 years, I've been watching lots of stores coming and going.
One of the stores that have appeared here in recent years is We Bandits in Neubaugasse, the district's main thoroughfare. It opened last year after its owner, Sophie Pollock, switched districts to be closer to her customer base, and it trades in Korean fashion, one of only a handful of stores in Europe to do so.
They have a beautiful and wonderful approach to design in general. I think very humorous and colorful and nice, and very unique, in my opinion.
Mm. Any personal connection to Korea or just...
Not really, but I love being there, and I like the fact that you can actually really oversee production easily. It's very accessible. It's family-run businesses. And I personally love the culture and the people there. I find it really interesting.
Who's your typical client? I mean, what kind of people shop here? And here and, you know, generally in the 7th District in Neubau?
I think, I don't know, I would put them in the creative corner, or most of our clients work somehow in a creative industry. Age-wise, I couldn't say. It's between 25 and 65. The client in the 7th District is quite it's a good explorer. I think they're brave. They want to try new things, and they're not afraid of looking different.
A statement that I've heard quite a lot from the other people that I spoke to is that Austrians in general are not so big on fashion.
That is true, yeah. We don't have that in our history.
But why is that?
Good question. I'd like to know. But I think there wasn't much there like in other countries, so developing a taste is also kind of an education that you need to get. And the more options you have or you find, the easier you can develop for yourself, I think. And more shops are opening and more options are popping up. And I think Vienna might be slower than other cities, but it's developing constantly, and the quality of life here is still nice, and you can try a lot of things, and probably it's easier to succeed here than it would be in New York or in London or in Paris.
We've now heard from quite a range of Austrian fashion designers and shop owners about their inspirations, struggles and successes. But what does it all mean for the industry at large? Where is it going? Is Austrian fashion back on the chart? I asked someone who knows.
Hi, I'm Claudia Rosa Lucas. I'm from Vienna, Austria. I'm living here and working in the Austrian fashion scene. I had my own label 10 years ago, but for me it's very important to promote the scene internationally. Mm-hmm. So I did an exhibition in Shanghai in December for 1 month. It's called Refashioning Austria. And since 5 years, I'm promoting young Austrian fashion designers at the London Fashion Week during the International Fashion Showcase that is organized by the British Fashion Council and the British Council.
And how would you characterize Austrian fashion today? You know, because if you speak, as I say, if you speak to people outside Austria, you're lucky if they know someone like Helmut Lang, and that's really all they know.
Yeah, but it's getting better now. So a few years ago, so a lot of people knew about Helmut Lang, but now they know that there is a young avant-garde scene, and we have a good educational system here. So we have professors like Hussein Jalayan here, Raf Simons, also Vivian Westwood, and I studied also with Helmut Lang, and so. So it's getting better now. If you think of Italian design or British design or American design, you have somehow a picture what it is. But with the Austrian fashion design, there's not that picture already.
Yeah, exactly. And so what's the selling point? You know?
They're very different, and I like this diversity we have here, because they come from different parts. A lot of people also studying outside, then they're coming back to Vienna, and it's a very, very big variation here.
But as a promoter of Austrian fashion abroad, is it hard to change perceptions, people's perceptions of Austrian fashion?
Yes, it's quite hard. It's a long way already. So I'm in it now for about 10 years, and I've always to convince people to show new designers and our new scene and the avant-garde, and not only the traditional costumes. And yes, this is quite hard, and it takes a lot of working, a lot of talking with the people. So when I made now the exhibition in Shanghai, so Chinese people don't know anything about the younger scene. They know our traditional, and it was very hard work. But in the end, they really like it to see the young scene. And it worked perfectly, yeah.
Mm. I've spoken to a number of people already, designers and shop owners. A lot of them said to me that it's nice to be based in Vienna, but to present elsewhere. Mm-mm. Do you see that changing in the coming years?
I see now that the people are coming back now. Vienna is really a great place to live and to work, and a lot of people are now starting to make their education, so 1 year or 2 years outside, and then they're coming back, but they go on to show outside, and they have then an international network, and so I think the moving around is quite interesting now, that the people are really coming from everywhere, coming back, and then we have a good international network already. And then the support for young fashion designers or for the avant-garde scene is quite good in Austria. So we got a lot of support from the government.
And yeah, let's take maybe like a short-term perspective. So let's say in the next 2 to 5 years, what's going to change?
I think people are going to start more corporations. More people will come to Vienna, I think, as well. And I think that labels, they will more focus on special services, I think. Not on whole collections all the time, but they will think more on what they can do in the big area of fashion.
They seek him here, they seek him there. His clothes are loud, but never square. It will make or break him, so he's got to buy the best, 'cause he's a dedicated follower of fashion.
Austrian fashion has long been in the doldrums. Some will say it was never anywhere but the doldrums. And no amount of training and support from some of the best in the industry seem to be able to change that. But now things are picking up. New names are coming in place of the old ones. It's not just Helmut Lang anymore. Vienna does have a reputation for lagging behind. But when it gets there, it might just put everyone else to shame.
Oh yes he is, oh yes he is, oh yes he is, oh yes he is. Thinks he is a flower to be looked at.
For Monaco in Vienna, I'm Alexei Korolev.
And sadly, that's all we have time for on this week's special one-off feature-length foray into Vienna's cut-above-the-rest clothing scene. My very special thanks to our ever-patient editor, Alex Funnel, the man behind the glass, Kieran Banerjee, and our guide for the day, Mr. Alexei Korolev. The show was produced by Ben Ryland, and you can contact him with ideas for future shows or feedback on past ones at br@monocle.com or myself at jaf@monocle.com. Don't forget, you can listen again or delve into our back catalogue at monocle.com, SoundCloud or iTunes. Thank you very much for listening, and from me, Josh Fennett, goodbye.